Oh, is it time for me to start? Okay, I guess I better get with the program. Hi, this is Dr. Roy Morgan. Welcome to Health Essentials on this Saturday morning. I came across a small little tidbit of information that I found very interesting. I was reading about the coronavirus, and they say that they have shipped 50 tons of vitamin C to Wuhan, China, where it originated, supposedly. I find that very interesting. And so it didn't say they shipped 50 tons of a vaccine or 50 tons of respirators. They probably have. But isn't that interesting? They shipped off 50 tons of vitamin C. You do not have to be a biologist or a chemist or a doctor or a nurse. If you are, even better. But most people understand that your body requires some vitamin C to be able to function properly. I remember reading that a lot of the sailors on a ship that was bound to a far-off destination, the point they would commit mutiny and try to overthrow the captain and his officers was when they would run out of lemons. Do you think that could have anything to do with the vitamin C content? Well, of course. They knew that if they were without lemons and limes, their health would deteriorate so rapidly. I know this is an oversimplification, but you've got to have vitamin C for your immune system to function properly. There's no way around that. Now, one simple thing that I want you to think about. I tried to look it up. I didn't have my textbook here this morning. But let's just say it this way. The largest gland of your immune system is called the thymus gland, not the thyroid. Thyroid is very important, but I'm talking about the thymus gland. And the thymus gland is kind of a long. It's a skinny, well, it doesn't look like an earthworm. Okay, maybe a fat one. There's two of them, one on the right, one on the left, just under your breastbone or your sternum. A lot of times when a physician does open heart surgery and they take the skill saw that they purchase from Home Depot and they open up that sternum so they can crack and spread the ribs open. I'm serious. I get it from Home Depot. No, I'm just joking about that. I'm sure they don't. It's probably the same tool, but since they use it in a hospital setting, it probably costs like $25,000 instead of $25. Anyway, when they spread the ribs, a lot of times surgeons are world famous for saying, hey, the thymus gland is laying on top of the heart. Let's get rid of it to make more room for what we're going to do when we replace an artery or do a Roto-Rooter or clean one out. So they just take it and toss it in the bucket. Sure, the surgery could be totally successful. The person could have new blood flow to the heart again and say, oh my goodness, I feel like a new person. The problem is, they're sick all the time. They can never get well. They get a cold, and it lasts for 6 months. That's because their thymus gland's been removed. So as long as you can understand that your thymus gland is literally the largest gland of your immune system. Now, the reason I'm bringing this up is because your thymus gland has everything to do with how your body responds to a virus. You know as well as I do, you're going to go to church tomorrow morning, someone is going to cough directly into their hand, they may be courteous and wipe it on their pants leg or on their shirt, but as soon as they turn that corner and they see you, they're going to extend that hand that they've just coughed into. Yeah, they probably had the flu or a cold. I don't think they have coronavirus, but, you know, you never know. And they're going to extend it without even giving it a second thought. And so when you get a boatload of viruses from that person shaking your hand, or maybe at your church they greet everybody with a holy kiss. Is that true? So when you, the moment you scratch your nose or your eye or your ear or the corner of your mouth, guess what you've done? You have completely introduced the virus into your body. That brings us to the thymus gland. There is a type of a white blood cell called a T lymphocyte. Sometimes they're called T cells for short. But the T is just short for thymus, or the T stands for the thymus gland. That's where they originate. But this is a T lymphocyte is a very particular, unique type of immune cell that seems to be severely affected by what's called a zinc deficiency. I don't know if you've heard me say before in the past that zinc could actually be the cornerstone of a person's immune system. Well, I looked this up, and they've shown that in Wuhan, China, that they think 70% of all the children, this would be the very young, are completely deficient in zinc. And they say the average of the adult population is a 31% deficiency. No, I did not look up how they arrived at those numbers, if they're estimates. I don't know the answer to that. My point is, if you want your immune system to respond in an appropriate manner, you've got to have zinc to make it happen. And so these glandular T lymphocyte cells, which are produced within the thymus gland, guess what? This is the only way that your body can actually make antibodies against the coronavirus or any other virus. But since the coronavirus is in the news, that's one I'm going to refer to. And so these T cells that come from your thymus, they all atrophy and shrink and they go away. And they're reduced in number in the presence of a zinc deficiency. I know I'm oversimplifying this, but two very, very classic symptoms of a zinc deficiency is either craving sugar, I mean really craving it, or things that are sweet, does that make sense? Or foods that are very, very salty. You know who I'm talking about here? You go to a Mexican food restaurant, the person that takes the salt shaker and just dumps, it looks like it's snowing in the middle of winter when they're, anyway. Let's go to the phone lines here. Good morning and welcome to the program.
Good morning, Dr. Morgan. I wanted to know your advice about bunions.
Who has the bunion?
I do. I'm developing them.
Do you ever walk barefoot on the dirt or the grass?
No, sir.
There's one theory, but this is not a glorious one. It's not gonna change in one nanosecond or by tomorrow afternoon. It takes time to make it work. If the intrinsic foot muscles become even a little bit weak, then what'll happen is that ray or that digit will start to rotate against the weakness and it'll turn in. So I guess what I'm saying is if the feet become stronger, you can make that go away. And I've seen that happen.
But really?
But it requires people willing to walk barefoot. And the reason why I'm saying barefoot is because when you walk barefoot on the grass, that presents a very challenging terrain that's very uneven. It's not the same as when you have boots or shoes or tennis shoes, something like that on.
Okay.
Because when you walk barefoot on the grass or the dirt, you're kind of forcing your foot to bend and move and flex and use muscles that normally you wouldn't use if you just wore shoes.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
So
barefoot on the grass or the ground?
Either one. I'll take anything.
Okay.
Even if you have carpet in the house and if you're willing to walk barefoot, just pretend you're Japanese and take your shoes off at the front door and walk in and walk out and put them back on again. I guess you can wear shoes to church tomorrow, but, you know, besides that, I mean, even if you work at a restaurant, who's going to notice if you walk out there and serve people at a table while you're barefoot?
So no socks or anything, just barefoot?
No, socks would work also, but if you're bare, because that doesn't impede the foot from bending and flexing and moving around, you know, different angles on the ground.
Oh, okay, yeah. Okay.
But awesome. You know how you would take like a hand gripper if you said, I feel like I'm losing my strength. So you go to Walmart or a Target or someplace, you buy one of those hand gripper exercises and you start squeezing it. And when you first do it, you say to yourself, oh my goodness, I didn't realize how weak I was. This is horrible. I can barely even squeeze it on the lightest setting. And then after you do it for a while, you go, oh my goodness, this is becoming so much easier. That's because God has designed the body to adapt when we place stress upon it. And so with the feet, One of the greatest activities of all time, if I had access to it, is I'd have you walk barefoot up and down a beach, because that really exercises those feet. It's challenging walking on a soft, sandy beach, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I've done that before.
Well, you understand how it's challenging, how you have to work quite a bit harder. But so if you practice kind of using your, if you pretended that the sole of your foot or your toes and your feet were like a hand, if you started squeezing and massaging the ground or the carpet like you're trying to grip it with your foot, I know that sounds weird, but that's the way that you do it. And so if you practice kind of gripping the carpet under your feet or your toes like you're trying to grab it and pull it, then okay, that's gonna stimulate those muscles to start working right. But I have seen those toes improve greatly by doing that.
Okay, and I guess these are, I mean, it's not like really my toes that's the issue, it's just the ball that's developing on the side of my foot. Is that the bunion? That's the bunion, right?
Yeah, it's when that distal ray of the toe starts mm-hmm. to rotate in medially. It twists and turns and makes that bone more prominent, and that's what the bunion mm-hmm. is.
Okay.
Oof. You know, the other thing that I've seen, and I can't guarantee this one, but to me it's very intriguing. Have you ever seen people wear those shoes that fit around your feet like a glove? All your toes are separate. I think they're called Vibram five toe. Yeah, they sell shoes that people run in, or they jog, or they walk in.
Oh, okay.
But
it's like a
glove on your foot.
Right, I've seen those.
So that would be one thing that you could do also to try to correct that and pull it back in place.
Okay.
And
okay.
The other one, I know this is going to sound weird right here, but what is the largest, most powerful muscle in all the human body? Its initials are GM.
Initials are what?
G is in Gary, M is in Morgan.
Oh, because I was going to say the most powerful muscle is the tongue.
Well, you know what? You got me on that one. I can't argue with that.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. But I was thinking of the gluteus maximus.
Okay.
The one that you sit on, your backside.
Right, yeah.
And
yeah.
So if the gluteus maximus starts to lose some of its tone, I think that's what causes bunions to form.
Oh.
And so you can just test everything yourself. When you're in your kitchen or the hallway or living room, if you can just take your shoes and your socks off and keep your feet directly on the floor, if you can allow your body to squat all the way down as low as it possibly can, where you can just fully bend your knee as far as possible,
uh-huh.
that way your hamstrings will be laying right on top of your calf muscles or the lower leg, and your bottom will be just a few inches off the ground.
Okay.
Can you actually do that with your heels without the heels coming off the ground?
Yes, I can.
So what you would do is you would look up on YouTube or the internet or a book how to strengthen the gluteus maximus.
Okay.
And so when you strengthen the gluteus maximus, usually things go really well with the feet.
So this is a two for one. Hey, I'm going to really be in shape. Okay.
I know. See, look how I tricked you. I was trying to trick you. I said, I'm going to do two for one, and she's not going to be able to recognize it, but you saw my plot.
Oh, yeah. You say gluteus maximus to any woman, she's all ears. So it's like, okay, I'll do this for sure.
Well, if the gluteus maximus starts firing on all eight cylinders, meaning you get better nerve transmission, the nerves fire and they wire together better, I bet you'll tell me that everything with your legs down that posterior chain starts working better even through your foot.
Oh, I'm so thankful.
You know,
I'm
the thing. Oh, you're so welcome. The thing of it is, all this is very, very sophisticated and complicated. I know I'm not doing a great job of explaining it to you, but if you just have enough faith to say, okay, I'm going to start walking around barefoot, see if I can correct this. I'm going to start pretending that my feet are like my hands, where I start gripping things with them.
Okay, definitely. I'm all in, because I don't want. I've been just overthinking this, and I don't want surgery. It's not even to that point at all. But I'm like, am I going to be eventually having surgery? So I'm all in with everything that you've mentioned today,
well,
for sure.
Can I ask you a personal question?
Yes.
Do you have a husband?
No, sir.
Well, do you have a mother or a sister?
And here in Texas, I have one family member. It's my daughter.
Okay, well, then what we're going to do is, to prove that you have mastered control of your feet, you're going to practice pouring a cup of coffee into a mug while your daughter's holding it, and you're going to use your feet to do that. And I'm thinking that's the only way that we're going to be able to prove that your foot muscles are working properly. I can't even imagine what would go wrong with that. It's not like you're going to spill hot coffee on her or anything like that.
Okay, I'm going to do what now? Say that again.
I'm just joking.
Oh, okay.
I was trying to suggest instead of using your hand, you use your foot.
Okay,
scratch that. That was a bad idea.
I was like, what are you telling me to do to my daughter?
Well, she's not really in the room listening right now, so she'll just assume this is part of the normal therapy to get your bunion to go away.
Okay, gotcha. I'm like, okay. But I am definitely going to try these. I'm so thankful.
Good. Good deal.
I'm going to practice.
Well, thanks for your phone call.
Yes, sir. Have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, there's the phone line once again open at 903-586-5257. That's 903-586-5257 if you want to call this program, which is Health Essentials. Just momentarily back to the zinc issue in the thymus gland. I don't know if this has been pursued when it comes to the coronavirus, but I tell you what, if you want your immune system to be able to respond to a virus in the appropriate manner, you're going to have zinc to do that. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning. How are you this morning?
I'm good, thank you. Your voice sounds very familiar. Have I met you before?
Maybe only once or twice.
Okay. Anyway, go ahead, sir. Glad to have you on the program.
Hey, we talked a few weeks ago about food-grade peroxide, and I cannot remember how much you said to put to how much water.
Well, if you had a cup of water or herbal tea or tea...
Like 8 ounces?
Yeah, any amount's going to be fine. If you're just adding somewhere between 3 and 5 drops of food-grade hydrogen peroxide, that's a pretty good starting point right there.
So if it's like a 16-ounce container that you sip on all day...
That's fine.
Put about 3 to 5 drops in?
Oh, yeah, totally.
Or more? Should there be more because it's more water or no?
I wouldn't worry about that. I would just focus on just a few drops.
Okay. That's basically what I wanted to know. And okay. Thank you for the information on the coronavirus. It just reinforces things that I was thinking but wasn't sure about. You know, the zinc and the vitamin C and
yeah, but
stuff.
But now you have your mind set like, okay, let me evaluate zinc.
Right.
Okay, good job. Thank you for your call.
Well, thank you. You have a great
You're
day.
You're welcome.
Great
you
weekend.
Too. Have a great weekend yourself, buddy. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye.
Okay, if you'd like to join me on the radio, the phone line is once again officially open at 903-586-5257. I'm sorry, it took me a long time to get that button activated. Hi, this is Dr. Morgan. Welcome to the program.
Good morning, Dr. Morgan. I listen to you every morning.
Are you serious?
Yes, sir.
Every single morning?
Every single morning that you're on, Saturday morning.
You don't miss any?
Not that I know of.
What does your family think about this?
I live alone, thank you very much. I'm also a truck driver, and I live stream you going down the road.
Do you really? That's great.
Yes, sir.
I've never caused you to have a near wreck, have I?
No, thank you.
Okay, good. All right, now we can
go. Okay. This question is based on herbal remedies for, like, killing viruses or preventing viruses from entering your system because of the coronavirus. I'm weirding out about it. I looked up, and I don't know anything about oregano oil.
That wouldn't be my first choice.
Really?
No, not even close. What I would tell you is, number one, if you would just focus on the ones that have the greatest antiviral properties, that's going to give you a bigger bang for the buck. It's called elderberry.
Got it.
And so even the gentleman that I just called on the phone, he was talking about zinc. Zinc is the basis for allowing your T lymphocytes, which that's a type of embedded white blood cell that actually helps your body generate antibodies against viruses. So the more of those that you have, the better off you are in responding to a virus. And you can only have them if you have zinc.
Okay, so to get, you can't let fresh air in if you don't open the window, right? Got it.
Well, okay. That would be true. The other thing, since you brought up that topic, I am personally a very, very big fan of what's called ozone. O-Z-O-N-E, because it kills viruses on contact. And so they have these small, I think there's one brand called Radial Nano. It's just battery-powered. You can put it in your truck with you when you're driving up and down the road, but it generates ozone, but it sterilizes the air from viruses.
Okay. And I come into contact with people across my travels as a truck driver.
Oh, I can only imagine.
It would be one sneeze, and I've passed it to how many different states is not doable for me.
Yeah, exactly.
So zinc to enable the system for elderberry to work better?
Well, no, not exactly. Well, yes, but what I was trying to say is your body has what are called very specific types of white blood cells called T lymphocytes. For them, to be active and do their job to defeat a virus, they've got to have zinc to do that. And so if you're low in zinc, which two very simple yet classic signs of a zinc deficiency is craving of salt or craving of sugar.
Mm.
I bet you've never heard of any truck drivers doing that, right?
Every day. Funny.
Yeah, if you come in contact at a truck stop, what are they loading up on? Sugar and salt, right?
Soda pop and potato chips. Yep.
There you go. And so if you were taking all this to heart, which I know you are, you're going to say, okay, maybe I should go to the store and get some zinc. Or another thing that I like very, very much, they sell zinc lozenges at most stores, especially the health food stores. I think the other day I walked into a store called Drug Emporium, and they had a roll of zinc lozenges that were laced with echinacea and elderberry. Or maybe one was echinacea and one was elderberry. But you could just suck on those, because probably 95% of all viral infections, they incubate in the back of your throat. And so at the very split moment you feel like something's gone awry, or you're feeling a little bit off, that's when you strike while the iron's hot. You don't wait 2 days until you're like achy all over and have a high fever and you feel like you're nauseated and you're throwing up and you're sweating bullets. Don't wait that long. But you can actually start sucking on zinc lozenges, and what you're doing with the zinc lozenges is you're lining the mucosal membrane on the back of your throat with zinc ions, which that kills viruses. So that's good.
I like that. Good defensive.
Now, I don't want to really tell anybody what I'm drinking right now, because they're going to think that I'm a weirdo, but I'm addicted to it. I can't stop.
What is that?
Well, I'll tell you if you promise not to mention it, because they may judge me. Okay.
I'll keep it quiet.
I took some hot water and I poured it over some a bag of hibiscus tea. And then I took, once it started to cool down just a smidgen, I took one organic lemon that I bought at the store and I just squeezed every last drop of it into it. And then I actually put maybe one teaspoon of raw honey. But what I really seem to dig a lot, there is a substance called grape must, M-U-S-T. And so when I walked down the aisle of the grocery store, I looked at it and I go, that's interesting. I'm going to try that. It's called Concord Grape Balsamic Vinegar.
Ooh.
And so when I read that, I think, oh my goodness, I'm going to start doing that. Because, you know, back during the time of the bubonic plague, when it was spreading throughout Europe, and also during the time when smallpox was prevalent and killing millions of people, they had to actually let the prisoners out of jail so they could go collect bodies and bury them.
Holy
smokes. And part of their wages were either garlic vinegar wine or vinegar that comes from grapes. And so, you know, I kind of pay attention to that, but I just take a few splashes In my case, probably a good tablespoon because I just like the stuff. But I put this great musk vinegar directly into my tea, and I call it good. I like it. I feel good when I drink it.
Good deal.
And, you know, well, maybe there's a few dozen flies buzzing around me right now, but I don't really worry about stuff like that.
Oh, you're wonderful.
You can kind of smell the vinegar from here.
Right. Well, I looked it up, and I looked up the natural remedies of things that kill viruses in the body, but all of them are stating that they're preventative if they're already in your system and you contract the virus.
Give me an example of what you're referring to. Just tell me one or two of them.
Green tea, lemon.
I'll talk about the lemon just for a second. Now, I do not have the article right in front of me, but last week before I came on the radio, there was an article published saying lemon juice has been shown to kill the Norwalk virus. Now, I don't expect you to know what the Norwalk virus is, but that's the one that hit that cruise ship about 7 years ago, and everybody had projectile vomiting and diarrhea for like 4 days straight. And they had to shut the ship down and like totally sterilize it with probably Lysol and bleach and everything else. But I thought, isn't this interesting? They've shown that cranberries have antiviral properties, and they're showing now that lemons. But I am such a huge fan of lemons. I mean, it's hard, because I love people, not to talk about lemons. So even what I'm drinking right now, this lemon was huge. It's like a big honking Meyer lemon.
Right.
If Goliath was running toward me at full speed and I had a sling big enough to hold a lemon, I think I could have a go at him. Wait a second. It may not knock him out. It's just lemon juice. Anyway.
If it gets in his eyes, you got it made. Go ahead.
I know. See, and while his eyes are stinging and burning, I could make a run for it, right?
There you go.
I would sneak up behind him and give him a wet... Never mind.
If you got the good Lord behind you, you got it made either way, right?
You know what? The story is, in my mind, is very factual and very true, and I take it as the truth. But David was the only one that stepped forward to face Goliath, right?
Yes.
Okay, so he is one, but God was with him. That's the most, what you said is the most impressive part of the conversation. If God is going before you, you can do it, right?
Yeah.
But I would say lemon juice would be something that would be very, very important. You know, like I mentioned earlier, I don't know if you heard that or caught that, but I had just read that 50 tons of vitamin C was shipped overnight to Wuhan, China. Now, you tell me, why are they shipping 50 tons of vitamin C? Because they're trying to help these poor people's immune system do a better job of defeating the virus and containing it, right?
Yeah.
And so, historically, some of the best sources of vitamin C of all time are going to be lemons or limes. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Isn't that why the folks from England are called limeys?
Yeah, because when they would sail across the ocean, they would have barrel upon barrel of limes. And that was their daily ration. Besides maybe having some Ship's Ahoy cookies. I made that up. There's no such thing called Ship's Ahoy. But besides their normal diet, they would eat a lime or lemon just to keep them from getting sick from scurvy, which scurvy is a vitamin C deficiency. Man, wouldn't that be horrible to have all the joints of your body just liquefy and turn to mush, and you couldn't even move because you were low in vitamin C? No, thank you at all. You know what? You could do pretty well just by squeezing the juice of one or two lemons a day into water or herbal tea, and you could drink it.
I think if I do it, I've tried the in-the-water stuff, and I end up, I think it's called heartburn. It just kind of doesn't sit so well, so I'm going to have to try it in maybe tea or something.
Well, when you say heartburn, do you have some issue going on right now with your stomach or your esophagus?
Not that I know of, but that was my first thing in the morning before coffee, and that didn't work good.
Okay, well, we got to find a way to make it work. And so what you might do is you might try using one small lime instead and see if that works.
Okay.
As a truck driver, when you're going over the road, you could just get a pair of those lemon or lime squeezing devices they sell at the store and just squeeze it and call it good.
Ooh, there you go.
Well, at least you can try.
I will. Thank you for taking the time with me. You're great.
You're welcome. Well, thanks for your phone call. I hope you have a very good day.
You too. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Have a good day. Bye.
Bye.
Okay, if you want to join me on the radio, there's plenty of time left. 903-586-5257. Obviously, there are plenty of herbal remedies that have antiviral properties, but I just mentioned elderberry is hard to beat. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning. Just a minute. You over that radio.
Oh, you're doing great.
Okay, great.
I don't even hear anything in the background.
Okay, I have a sister that lives in California that she has glaucoma. And I don't really know much about this. And the doctor told her that she has a rare form from Alaska, and she asked me to call you, and she says, find out about this. So she's supposed to have surgery this week, and supposedly my brother has eye problems too, and I was just wondering, what advice can I give her? What nutrients is she lacking in her diet?
Well, one simple recommendation I would give you, there's a family of vegetables called the cruciferous, you know, family, and in that you're going to have asparagus and Brussels sprouts, broccoli, cabbage, cauliflower, kale. Those all tend to be very, very high in sulfur-based compounds. And I know I'm probably trying to really oversimplify this, but if she could start eating broccoli with butter on top of it,
mm-hmm.
she's going to be in a much, much better place when it comes to eye health.
What was the name of that, those vegetables?
They're called cruciferous.
Cruciferous.
Well, let me try to spell it. Okay. Do you have a pencil handy?
Yes.
C-R-U-C-I-F-E-R-O-U-S. Cruciferous.
Cruciferous.
That's okay. Close. That's close. I may have botched it. But the cruciferous family. So if she said, you know what, I've got nothing to lose. Dr. Morgan says that smoking cigarettes and eating sugar is the hardest thing on glaucoma and eye health. And I think that's true.
Okay. Well, you know, she normally eats pretty well. I was surprised. But, you know, she doesn't smoke or drink or anything.
Oh, thank the good Lord. Well, there's some glitch in the system, and we just have to target that. And so,
and you know, I'm thinking sugar since you mentioned it.
Well, because, and you know, I'm not casting stones toward anybody, but yeah, when you eat a lot of sugar, you're asking for your eye health just to go down a hill big time. And the other thing that I think is just totally horrible is just when people say, "Well, can I have permission to speak freely?"
Yes, of course.
I talk to people all the time, and I ask them, how much time do you spend outside? And they go, oh, never. Are you kidding me? I don't want to get cold. If you don't spend time outside, you can't have healthy eyes. You've got to have natural light from the sun that God himself has made for us because he cares about us.
Mm-hmm. Now, what about all these people that are wearing sunglasses?
You got to take them off.
Okay.
I mean, obviously, if somebody's had like a lens replacement from a cataract removal, mm-hmm. That may be a little bit harder. They may have to go outside when it's like a little bit later, like 5 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
And then not stare at the sun. But I can understand if you've had like a lens replacement, it's 12 o'clock high, you may not want to, you know, be out there. So,
yeah.
If they can spend more time out of doors, that's very, very good. So, can I just tell you what I would do if it were me?
Please.
Okay. I would start eating cruciferous vegetables, and I would have some type of faith or expectation they're going to be very good for my eyes. Number next, you've got to absolutely avoid refined sugar. There's just no way around it. So when you avoid sugar, you're doing yourself a huge favor. Now, there is a substance, if you want to call it a flavonoid or a polyphenol, that's found in the skins of grapes, especially dark grapes. It's called resveratrol. 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 Resveratrol.
Yes.
Do you know how horribly I butcher some of the names of these herbs? And anyway, resveratrol, that is so good for increasing blood flow to the eyes.
Okay, the skin off the grapes.
Yeah, and so you can actually get this as a supplement, or if a person were to drink 4 to 6 ounces of red wine, they would get resveratrol in the wine. I'm not telling a person what to do. But the main one of the main issues is you get this fluid or pressure that builds up, and the pressure valve doesn't work properly. So that's where potentially vitamin C can come in handy. And so there's always a correlation between low intake of vitamin C over a lifetime and the development of cataracts. And so if I were to say, I'm not trying to be negative here, but if I were to say which foods are anti-vitamin C, it would have to be sugar. So,
wow.
I mean, have you ever heard of somebody eating tons of sugar and they get sick and they never get well? Well, if you were coming down with a cold, you're not going to sit there and drink 40 Mountain Dews and eat a bunch of Chips Ahoy cookies. I actually made that up. There's no such cookie called a Chips Ahoy. So when a person's low in vitamin C, they're more prone to having increased intraocular pressure causing glaucoma. There's a product that I've used over the last humpteen years. It's called AC Carbamide. It has a molecule of an inert substance called carbamide, and they use a little bit of vitamin C, a little bit of vitamin A. But to me, I see that as assisting a weakened eye in removing excess pressure. It's called AC carbamide, but that's what I would take if I had glaucoma.
Okay. So this isn't generic, and it's just bound to happen to have to say the rest of us in my family, but...
Well, I don't know that it will, but I mean, if you have a family history of having glaucoma, I would sure take note of that and say, hey, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. I don't want that to happen to you.
Mm-hmm. Well, I do listen to you as much as I can on Saturdays, but I really appreciate this information, and I will share it with her.
Oh, you're welcome. I wish you the very, very best.
Thank you very much, Doctor.
You're welcome. Have a good day. Bye-bye.
Bye.
I know this sounds maybe a little bit unrealistic, but I think it's reality. A lot of the waste and the debris and the toxins that build up in the human body, they actually form crystals. Maybe not the same type of sediment as you would get in a cave where they form stalactites and stalagmites from water dripping and such. But lemon juice is one of the greatest dissolvers of toxic crystals in the body. Man, I'm having a hard time with this button. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning. How are you this morning?
Oh, I'm good. I'm so glad you called. How can I help you?
I just want to tell you, I'm driving. I'm listening to you, and I've been listening to you for a little while, but you make me laugh and just make my morning by your information, but also from the jokes that you put out, and you are just so funny.
No one's ever told me that before. I'm so glad I finally have one person to recognize my sense of humor. This is the first time in 25 years. I'm so thankful to you.
I can't drink coffee without listening to you and laughing, because I'll spit it out.
Did you like my joke about having the woman take her foot and try to pull off? That was pretty bad, wasn't it?
Yes, and the Chips Ahoy cookies.
Laughter
is also a good medicine, you know?
You know, the Bible says that, doesn't it?
It does. It really does, yes.
Well, you're so kind. Thank you.
I've got several people that have started to listen to you, too, so, and I'm traveling to Dallas, and I'm listening to you, so I thought, what?
No, that's great. I hope you have a safe trip to Dallas.
Well, thank you.
Which interstate are you on? Are you on I-20 or 80?
I-20. I-20. Mm-hmm.
Yes, I want you to be super careful. I-20, at any turn, there could be like a car wreck, and you could be stuck there for 20 or 30 minutes, right?
I know. I've got my earbud on and talking to you, but I do have a question since
yes,
I got through. My son is a cancer survivor. He survived Ewing sarcoma bone cancer at the age of 14. And so
what kind was it? Was it an osteosarcoma?
Yes.
Okay.
So he's going on 10 years being a survivor. So of course every year, you know, he gets checked and there's always that possibility. But what can I suggest to him to take, you know, as far as I know the radiation and the chemotherapy, you know.
The primary therapies they gave him was radiation and chemo?
They did. They gave him radiation and chemo, yes.
See, I was curious when you mentioned that. I thought to myself, well, maybe they caught it as a small tumor and just surgically removed it, but that didn't happen, did it?
No. It didn't. The tumor was wrapped around the tailbone.
Just a very unusual location, right?
Yes. And the doctors did tell him that there was the possibility of him not ever having, you know, any children. So a miracle came to us 2 years ago.
What was the miracle's name?
Thea Brooke.
Oh, Thea, how beautiful.
Yes. So, but anyway, so is there anything that I could suggest to him to eat or to, I know we have faith in God.
Well,
and
you,
God pulled us through that.
Absolutely. Well, let me lay it on you this way. The lady that just called earlier, I spoke of what are called the cruciferous family of vegetables, and that's going to be radishes and asparagus and kale and Brussels sprouts,
yeah,
broccoli, all that good stuff. Those have compounds that are so good helping your body detoxify. And so I have a hard time believing that if someone's had chemotherapy that they don't need just a little bit of help for the rest of their life, making sure that their body can detoxify better. And so if he were to include more of those sulfur-rich compounds, I bet you anything, things will go very better for him, or much better.
Okay. All right. Well, go ahead.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to talk over you.
No. I was just gonna say that one of the doctors or one of the food specialists there that we had talked to during that time, she had suggested lots of fruits also.
Well, the fruits that I think I could recommend strongly are going to be ones from the berry family. So if it was blueberries or raspberries or cranberries, strawberries, things like that. One reason, because they're low in sugar and they tend to be more nutrient-dense and they have more phytonutrients.
Mm-hmm.
The one that I really want to recommend to you, this is the one I wrote down on my sheet of paper. I'm already on the backside. I'm just a note-taker. That's all there is to it. you know what mushrooms are, right?
I do. I love them.
I think mushrooms are so powerful in helping to upregulate one's immune system where it's able to work on a much different level, on a much better level. And so if his immune system has been, you know, impacted by radiation chemo, I still say that your plan is brilliant. What can we do to try to ensure that he's going to be in a much better place even 10 years from now? But you've got to have that mindset. You've got to believe in your heart and your mind that you can improve and that you can get better no matter what you've been hit with. And, of course, life is very, very hard. This is he was really knocked down at age 14 with that osteosarcoma wrapped around his tailbone. But you're looking at mushroom extracts. And so either you forage for them in the forest or you buy them from the store or you buy them online. But there's going to be some that are very, very good. One that pops in my mind is called turkey tail.
Turkey tail.
And they call it that because it looks like the fanned out tail of a turkey growing on the side of an oak stump.
Huh.
Well, it, to me, it looks like a turkey tail. But yeah, but turkey tail is a very good one, but there's plenty to choose from. Everything from Ganoderma to Maitake to Shiitake. I'm pretty sure I'm pronouncing those perfectly. I mean, nobody else could do a better job of that. But that's the mushroom extracts. I've even, whatever women have in breast cancer, men have in prostate cancer, but even the, it's called the agaricus mushroom, or a white button mushroom. So you can eat them, you can take them in a powdered form, you can add them to soup. They even now, have you ever heard of a store called Costco?
Yes, I have.
On the shelf, they had this huge jar of gourmet mushrooms that are dried, and the price was ridiculous. It was like $10. And I thought to myself, if everybody would just put some of these mushrooms in their soup, their health would be much better.
Really?
Yeah, I'm also a fan of what's called chaga mushroom. You ever heard of chaga?
I have not.
Sounds like a hairy animal from Land of the Lost, but that was a long, long time ago, and I was very, very young when I used to watch that. You don't remember the Slea Stacks almost catching Will, do you?
No.
So chaga. No, maybe that was chaga. What was the monkey's name? I can't remember. Anyway, chaga. But I'm talking about chaga mushroom. It's kind of like a dark brown. I had this huge jar in my office, and everybody says, "Are those brownies?" I'm going, "No, that's chaga mushroom." They grow on birch trees near the Arctic Circle. Do you know what I'm talking about when I say Land of the Lost?
Yes.
It was like an ABC show back in 72 or 71.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
That'd be like 40 years ago. I tell you what, if I'm in Walmart and I see a whole bunch of Slea Stacks come around the corner, I'm making a run for it. I'm telling you. I am not hanging around. But there is one hiding place in Walmart that no one's ever thought of. They have this.
Where's that at?
They at the front foyer. They have this bin where you put recycled Walmart bags. If you were to jump in there and just pull them on top of you, there's nobody that's going to look in there. I promise.
Who knows? It's all in them plastic bags.
Well, there may be a small family of raccoons living in there for all I know. But if your son could start taking mushroom extracts, and you can drink this in the form of a tea, you can eat them, you can add them to a salad, you could cover them on, you could cook them with your food. But mushrooms are going to be really, really hard to beat. In my mind, they've got to be one of the greatest superfoods on the planet.
Yeah.
I know what I'm going to say is going to sound very, very weird, but all plants, what they do is they breathe in carbon dioxide. And they give off oxygen. But human beings do not do that. We're the opposite. We breathe in oxygen and we give off carbon dioxide.
Yeah.
Well, mushrooms are the only thing that's like us. They breathe in oxygen and they give off carbon dioxide. So they have a very similar respiratory system. But I've seen mushrooms do remarkable things to help people that were in dire straits. But you know where they start? But they've got to have an attitude that they can, you know, have you ever heard of some people? They will only do what their doctor recommends. They won't try anything else. Even though they are in dire straits, their back is up against the wall, they're desperate.
Yeah.
But that's where all these... No, go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, that's
I'm
fine.
I'm sorry.
You first.
Well, no, I was going to say, when Colton had his cancer, I had him... on a tremendous amount of supplements, and his tumor was shrinking in like sometimes in doubled the size, and the doctors came in and they said, "We're really concerned about your son." And I was like, "What? Why?" And they said, "Because his tumor is just shrinking, like, you know, really quick and fast." And I said,
"Are you
really?
Sure concern is the right term?"
I said, "Isn't that good?" And she said, "Yes, it is good." She goes,
"Well, why were they concerned?"
Well, because I didn't tell them. I did it in secret. And so when they would leave the room, I would just fill them up with all these vitamins and all this stuff that was dried and vegetables and fruit and things like that. And the young girl that was, had cancer, the same kind of cancer at a different place, she
she was sick and throwing up and mm-hmm. high fever and all of that. And so anyway, you know, and I didn't want them to tell me no, you know, don't give it to them. You know, mm-hmm. I was looking at all natural things, you know. And so from then on, I just, you know, I kept giving them, you know, this, it was a supplement through Dallas. At, mm-hmm. from a place in Dallas. But yeah, I'm very the type of person that'll go, you know, all natural and take care of, you know, my body and my mind and all of that. But I do have faith in God, so I know God has a big part of that in my life as well.
Well, he's the only reason that you're living and breathing and having your very being right now, isn't that true?
Yes, that's right. That's right. That's
so
exactly true.
Didn't you just instantly go, aha, what I'm giving my son is helping him above and beyond the expectations of the physicians?
Yes.
That's great. What a great story.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I bet you anything, yes. People are going to hear that and say, oh my goodness, maybe I should do the same thing. Yes, you should.
Yeah. Just load up with supplements, vegetables.
They should be just like you. They should sneak it in and not tell anybody.
Sneak it in. I did. I had it in the closet, and when they said that, I took it out of the closet. You know?
Well, you tell me, what's more important, trying to do everything that you can to avail yourself to help your son, or, mm-hmm. you know, doing what you know is or avoiding what you know is right? You did
yes.
the right thing.
Yeah.
My hat goes off to you. Way to go.
Thank you. Well, I'm just so excited that I got through and I was able to.
Me too.
To talk
I enjoyed
to you.
It very much. Well, thanks for your kind words, and I wish you the very best. And pass uh-huh. these things on to your son, and let's see what happens.
I will. And
we want good
things. Thanks for the good laugh.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you, ma'am. Bye bye.
Okay. Bye bye.
Okay. There's a phone line open. We've got, you know, plenty of time left. Probably 7 or 8 minutes. 903-586-5257. I know this is going to be a great oversimplification, but if you have had chemotherapy in your body, that, yes, is a drug, but it is toxic. So you need to work on making sure that your body can remove the residual effects of that. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Dr. Morgan. I've got a couple of questions.
Yes, ma'am.
I have had a breakout from makeup, and I haven't been able to get rid of it. I've tried everything I can think of, Benadryl, topical, I mean, aloe vera gel. I got something at Natural Grocers. It was... I think it was burdock and rue.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, it's drying my skin out.
Is the burdock a topical application or is it internal?
Topical.
Okay.
And I mean, I've got that. I'm getting to the point where I'm desperate.
How long have you had it?
A couple of weeks.
But you're convinced it was an allergic reaction or a toxic
it's
reaction?
It's got to be. It's around my eyes.
Oh, well. Describe that to me. Lower eyelids, side of the eyelids, above the eyelids?
Inside the eyelid, by the side of the eye, on my left eye, on my right eye, it is on the side of my eye, or like where you'd apply makeup, it's on the inner corner of my eye, and then on my left eye, it is right in the corner, it's like where I would put on eyeshadow, and I got rid of all my eyeshadow. And
are your eyes watering profusely?
No.
Are you?
Itchy and dry.
Well, when they're itchy and dry, do you feel the need to rub them frequently?
Yes.
Okay. If you were facing a mirror right now, and you took your index or pointer finger and tried to pull your lower eyelid down where you could see the inside of your eyelid, is that like really, really red? The lower
pink.
Okay, so it's not like it's just bloody red and irritated, right?
No, it's not like pink eye or anything like that.
Okay. Well, no, I knew that, but it's not your eyes. The eyeball itself is not a problem, right?
Mm-mm, no.
Okay, well, can I give you like several ideas, and let's just
sure,
see if we can work
sure.
through this? Okay.
What I'd like you to do is get some Johnson's No More Tears Baby Shampoo, or actually even better than that is just Castile soap.
Okay.
The liquid Castile.
Uh-huh.
I hope I'm saying that right. Castile?
Castile? Yeah, you're saying it right.
Potato? Potato? So if you take Castile soap, just take about one drop
uh-huh.
to a spoonful of water and shake it up and make it kind of bubbly.
Uh-huh.
And I want you to be willing just to gently rub that around your eye, inside the eyelid.
Uh-huh.
And let's just try washing your eyes clean with that right there.
Okay.
The next thing that I want to do, and I know what I'm going to tell you is going to be very, very weird and unusual, but I'm trying
to... I listen to you all the time.
Okay. Well,
it's not weird or unusual.
You knew what you were getting into when you called
me. Yes, I did. That's right.
All right.
I did.
It's your fault then. No, but what I want you to consider is there's a type of honey they sell at Walmart called Manuka.
Manuka?
Manuka, mm-hmm.
What about using Meta honey?
That's fine.
Okay, I've got some Meta honey.
Whether it's, as long as it's raw honey, I'm going to be pretty happy with it.
Okay.
They even sell small jars, you know, 12-ounce jars for $3.50 at the store of raw wildflower honey. And so anytime that you have a skin irritation that just will not resolve and will not go away, if you need to just lightly dilute it with a little bit of water, I'm going to just tell you in advance, because his skin's irritated and itchy and dry to begin with,
mm-hmm.
it's going to sting a little bit. That's all there is to it.
It doesn't matter what I put on it.
Okay.
It stings.
Yeah. Well, I'm not trying to upset you by making it sting worse, but when you if you take the honey and put like a few drops of water, like if you had a dollop of honey in the palm
uh-huh.
and use a little bit of water, that'll thin it out a little bit. You don't have to, but if you'll just wipe that or apply it with your very clean, highly sterile, super scrubby clean fingers,
mm-hmm.
you can apply it to there, but you can apply that over and over and over throughout the day.
Okay.
And so the two things I'm going to recommend are just extra virgin olive oil. You may not know this, but olives and olive oil are mentioned in the Bible, I think, maybe one
for healing, yeah.
Yeah, maybe more than one time, too. Actually, honey might be mentioned more than one time also.
Yeah.
So I would have you do that first. So here's what I need to convince you of.
Uh-huh.
Your skin on your around your eye is going to drink up the honey. That may not be good English, but it will soak it up, drink it up, use it. And so if it's raw honey, the kind that's a little bit darker, a little bit dirtier,
mm-hmm.
I think that's ideal. Just give your body about 45 minutes to drink it up and apply another round.
Okay.
And then another. Now, if your eyes are stinging horribly, then you can just wipe that off gently with a washcloth, and you can cover with olive oil. But I would make some type of a makeshift heating... I started to say heating blanket. What I meant to say was a warm, moist washcloth with
uh-huh.
like a heating pad on top of it. Because the play is you're trying to radically increase circulation to your eyes so it can heal it.
Yeah.
But I would do those things first, and the two things I would use are going to be olive oil and honey. Now, the other thing that I really want to use, and I think this is a brilliant, brilliant idea, is just take avocado and rub in it.
Okay. Well, avocado is moisturizing.
You betcha it is, and it's very, very healing. But if you'll try those three things, just do them over and over, and hopefully Saturday or today is a day that you have time to do that.
Yep, it is.
And if you rub avocado in your eye and your husband walks towards you with some corn chips,
no husband, just me and the dog.
Just say, back off, buddy. I'm talking about the dog now. Okay. Well, just try that and see if that helps. But I'm
okay.
rooting for you. I really want to help you.
I got another question, too.
We're out of time,
I lost
unfortunately.
My sister. Okay. All right.
I'm
thank
sorry.
You.
Could you please call me next week and we'll pick it up, all right? Thank you very much. You're listening to Health Essentials on KBGS, FM 90.3, Jacksonville, Tyler Longview.